In a very real sense, we can describe our Christian journey in terms of camping toward Canaan's land. We can describe the transition that we have made from the bondage of sin into the liberty we have in Christ, having left the Egypt of sin. We have come through the Red Sea of forgiveness, a kind of baptism, and we have now embarked upon a journey in Christ. We haven't gotten to Canaan yet. You know, they made some revisions in that song years ago. They were in the wilderness as pilgrims and as strangers, as they were camping toward Canaan's land. Two bodies of water came into play when the children of Israel left Egypt. They had to go through the Red Sea. And of course, Moses analogizes that with baptism in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Then they tabernacled as pilgrims and strangers in the wilderness. And they didn't get over into Canaan's land until they crossed the River Jordan. Oftentimes people speak of the River Jordan as being the river of death, that in order to get to the promised land, in order to get to Canaan's land, or in order for us to get to heaven, we have to cross over the river of death. So we haven't crossed that river, and I don't think there are a lot of folks in a big hurry to cross that river. Some people says everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. But in order for you to get to heaven, all other things being equal, we must pass through death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. But we can accurately state and affirm, as is indicated in the song, I'm camping toward Canaan's land. And I'm sure we look forward to entering Canaan's land, that sweet land of peace and tranquility, where all tears will be wiped away from our eyes, where there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more dying. There'll be no cemeteries dotting the hillside of that wonderful land. No more drug stores and hospitals and funeral parlors. We won't need any of those things, because all things will have been made new. Good to see you here this evening. Good to be here this evening. We want to revisit a familiar parable in Mark chapter 10, considering the plight and the plea of blind Bartimaeus, using as the specific title of our lesson, Insights from a Blind Man. Insights from a Blind Man. Brother Quarles, I asked him to read just verse 47, but to read the entire episode in its contextual setting, let us read verses 46 through 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, this is speaking, of course, of Christ. And a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Blind Bartimaeus gives us a good example, excellent insights as to how to get help from God. When he cried out to Christ for help, Christ heard his cry and healed blind Bartimaeus of his blindness. Not everyone that cries out to God gets this sort of response from him. The reason is that many who cry out to God don't cry aright. They don't cry effectively in crying out to God. Now, there are some interesting things we note about Bartimaeus in this context. The Bible says he sat by the highway side begging. I don't know how long Bartimaeus had been blind. I don't know if he developed blindness as a result of some kind of optical illness, or if he developed blindness as a result of some kind of accident, or if he, like the blind man in John chapter 9, was born blind. It doesn't say what was the origin of his blindness. All we understand is that Bartimaeus was blind, and he was noted for his blindness, and he was described as, or referred to as, blind Bartimaeus. And apparently he was a pretty familiar fixture by the roadside as he sat begging, seeking to gain alms from those who passed by out of the goodness of their hearts. But the Bible says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, He heard about Jesus. He probably could hear the commotion associated with the entourage that surrounded Jesus as Jesus traveled through. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, the attentive listening by Bartimaeus is a good example of us using our blessings and of us using our opportunities. He could not look and see Jesus because he was blind. But that did not prevent him from listening about Jesus. So his ears were keenly attuned to any good news that might come their way. He could not see, but he could listen. And this teaches us that we must be good stewards of what we have. We must properly utilize that which God has blessed us with. And usually, if we will use effectively as good stewards what God has already blessed us with, we can become the rich recipients of more. And this is the concept in a very real sense that is taught in the parable of the talents. The servants receive 5, 2, and 1 talent respectively. And of course, those servants who received the 5 and the 2, they used effectively what they had been entrusted with. The one who received 1 talent, he neglected to use the talent that God had blessed him with, or that the master had blessed him with. When the master returned, because the man who had received, the servant who had received 5 had gained 5 more, the servant who had received 2 gained 2 more, the servant who had received 1 failed to utilize his 1 but buried it. To the ones who received the 5 and 2 talents respectively, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many." The servant to whom 1 had been given, who buried his and neglected to use it, rather than commending him, he condemned him as a slothful and wicked servant. And he said, "Give me this talent back." He took the 1 that he had. But the others, they were promoted. The 1 talent man was demoted. The 2 talent and the 5 talent servants, they used what they had. And God still requires us as his people to use what we have. And that's an insight that we also gain from observing blind Bartimaeus. He didn't have sight, but he did have the ability to hear. And he heard that it was Jesus, and that immediately arrested and captivated his attention. And he recognized and he believed that Jesus could help him. So he cried out and said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He began to cry out. The word translated cry out can be translated scream, for it is that strong a word. The loudness of the cry demonstrates the earnestness of the appeal. With a great crowd around Christ, it was necessary to appeal loudly to be heard. If you are not earnest in crying out to God for help, do not expect God to be earnest in giving you help. You know, sometimes people get embarrassed, and the blind man could have been embarrassed and not wanting to cry out. And he seemingly was embarrassing some other folk, but he couldn't say, "Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus never would have heard him. So he cried out, and the translation of the word used there actually means he screamed, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." I am impressed by the loudness of his cry. But I'm not only impressed by the loudness of his cry, I'm also impressed by the lauding in his cry. He recognized that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Therefore, he addressed him as the Son of David. This cry thus honored Christ because it called him Son of David. This term said Christ was indeed the promised Messiah, that he was the King of Israel. If you want help from God, you need to honor God. If your prayers don't seem to be doing much good, it might be that you are not properly honoring God in your prayers. You know, we talk to God as a father, but we have to also honor God and recognize who God is, and we need to recognize his power. Take a look at the sample prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Notice Jesus in teaching his disciples how to pray. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Notice, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And verse 13, as he closes out this brief prayer, we see the honor that he accords to the Father. He said in verse 13, the latter part, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." He was giving, in saying that, honor and recognition to God. And in calling Jesus the Son of David, blind Bartimaeus was giving proper honor and homage to Jesus. And we need to do the same as we pray to our God. We need to do the same as we call upon our God. I want you to notice the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint." I think that the cry, the loudness of the cry, and the lauding of the cry is tied in with the persistence of Bartimaeus. Now, as we go back over to Mark chapter 10, notice that the Bible says in verse 48, "Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Now, you know, I mentioned a moment ago that it seemed that those who were around him were embarrassed by his screaming cry, his screaming plea for help. And so in essence, Gary, what they were saying to him, "Shh, hey, be quiet. Hush up, man. Don't you disturbing everybody." And in essence, by his response, he told them, "Look, I want some help. You can't help me. Don't try to squelch my cries." So I appreciate blind Bartimaeus and his persistence in crying out. When they charged him that he should hold his peace, he cried the more a great deal. And the Bible says it paid off, because he got the attention of Jesus. The Bible says, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.'" Bartimaeus never would have gotten the attention of Jesus, apparently, if he had not been persistent in his cries. And what Jesus is saying in Luke 18:1, he told a certain parable about we call her the importunate widow. She made constant pleas, and she begged the king for relief. He didn't really care about people that much, but because of her importunity, because of her constant pleading, because of her persistent begging and imploring the king, he responded and gave her the relief that she sought. So Jesus taught this parable that men ought to always pray and not faint. That's why Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We have to be persistent. We can't lose heart. We can't give up. We can't throw in the towel. We have to continue to try. But we also take conscious recognition of the fact that there's an expression of lowliness in the cry. He said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus took the proper position before Christ. He did not plead merit, but he pleaded mercy. If we come on the basis of merit, we will not get much. For in God's sight and evaluation, we have no merit of real consequence. You will get more from God pleading mercy from a posture of humility than you will from making your appeal on the basis of non-existent merit. It may be humbling to come to God pleading mercy, but it is the only way to appeal to Him successfully. We must never allow pride to infest our hearts and to affect our pleas before God. We must always exemplify a spirit of humility, a spirit of meekness as we make our plea to God. You remember the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee, this is over, I believe, in Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee all lifted up in pride, bragging on himself, engaged in a sickening soliloquy of self-congratulations while the poor publican, evidencing a spirit of humility, let the Lord know that he was unworthy. He let the Lord know that he was at his mercy. He let the Lord know that he was bereft of any merit at all. That's Luke 18, starting with verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, bless his heart, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me. This man, that is the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted.
That's right.
A wonderful conclusion. Says in verse 49 again, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
Right.
And immediately was not piecemeal. It was not a sight purchase on an installment plan. But immediately he received the sight and followed Jesus in the way.
Right.
He had faith. That Of new life and of salvation eternal by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. You can rededicate your life if you are a Christian that's fallen by the wayside, if you have lapsed into a state of unfaithfulness. Through repentance, confession, and prayer, you can be restored. If you're here in either situation, in either category, we urge you to come right now as we together stand and as we sing.
Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, who is the voice I hear? The tones are falling. Oh, open the door for me. If thy will heed thy calling, I will abide with thee. Lonely without his staying, lonely with me. fall.